Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. I'm not speaking about how the fact that a certain WWE Hall of Famer fomented an armed insurrection against the United States government, a body which he currently leads. I'm not talking about that, although that definitely sucks. I'm talking about this. I came here to yell about shit WWE booking and drink lemonade, and I'm all out of lemonade! So guess what I'm going to spend this entire fucking 90 minutes doing? Just the yelling part. I'm really angry that I don't have my lemonade. It's my fault. I didn't make it. I got busy playing hide and seek. Yes. The afternoons are when I usually do my prep for, I guess I do some prep for these episodes. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm out of lemonade. I got to make some lemonade for tonight. Make sure it gets in the fridge so it's nice and cold. Cause nothing worse than lukewarm wet lemonade. Lukewarm lemonade. That's hard to say. Lukewarm lemonade. See, you start all of a sudden you can become Elmer Fudd. Lukewarm lemonade. So, anyway, I forgot to make lemonade because I was hiding from my daughter. Because she wanted to play hide-and-seek. And who am I to say no? I'm playing hide-and-seek with good WWE booking. Or at least good WWE storytelling. It's hiding. I can't seem to find it. Wherever, ollie oxen free, I can't find you. Good WWE storytelling. Come on out. You were hiding behind the refrigerator? How'd you even get back there? You're really good at hiding. Good WWE storytelling. Okay, let's play again. I'll bet you I can't find you anymore. So, listen. When they announced this gauntlet match for SmackDown last night, and the competitors who were King Corbin, because it's SmackDown, so he's got to be there fucking everything up, and it's Mysterio, back from a little break, haven't seen him in a few weeks, and Daniel Bryan, who I thought everybody was kind of like, oh, well, it can't be Daniel Bryan because he's in the Royal Rumble, right? So it can't be him who faces Roman at the Rumble. So, gosh, I wonder who's the swerve then? Because if it's not the obvious Daniel Bryan, well, is it Mysterio? They haven't done Mysterio versus Roman yet. I mean, it's not Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's going to get, you know, taken out with one move. Spoiler alert. It's not Baron Corbin. They're not going to do heel Corbin versus heel Roman. They're just not going to do that. And I mean, the one person that's definitely not going to be is Shinsuke Nakamura. Are you kidding me? What's Shinsuke Nakamura even doing in this gauntlet match? Said I. What possible reason in kayfabe could you have for putting a guy who's been booked like a joke recently in a match for the number one contendership for Roman Reigns' Universal title? Only the very top guys on SmackDown should even come close to a Universal title shot. And while I think Shinsuke Nakamura is one of the greatest wrestlers of the last 15 years, He certainly hasn't been booked like it recently. A couple of weeks ago, he got pinned clean as a sheet in a basic squash match almost by freaking Otis. Last week, he tapped out clean to Daniel Bryan in a tag match, meaning they could have had somebody else tap out to Daniel Bryan, namely his partner Cesaro could have tapped out to him. So they haven't exactly made him look strong. And I mean, if you said, hey, SmackDown, come up with five guys who, based on how they've been booked, deserve a shot at Roman Reigns' title. Shinsuke Nakamura could not be anywhere on your list. Just based on their win-loss record. And I looked it up because I was like, there's no way you would ever put this guy in this match. It doesn't make any sense. It's an insult to all of us watching. Why? I'm like, well, he doesn't seem like he's been winning much. They, Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura won the tag titles, the SmackDown tag titles, by beating The New Day at Extreme Rules, the horror show. Remember that? That was in July. Since then, prior to last night, he was 5-13. Nakamura was. That was even counting his reign as tag champ. He's been on the losing end of 13 out of his last 18 matches going into last night. So why would you ever think that that guy would be even close to getting a push toward the main event of SmackDown? It just wouldn't happen. It's not fucking possible. Said I to myself yesterday afternoon, whenever the fuck they released that match lineup. So keep that thought in there. The ridiculousness, considering how they have treated him via booking, the ridiculousness, the ludicrosity of putting Shinsuke Nakamura a hair's breadth away from a universal title match. Remember that. Keep that in your head. Because it's going to be important when we get to the main event. I say this every week when I talk about SmackDown. Roman Reigns is gold. I mean, everything that guy does on SmackDown is just so damned compelling. It's not his fault. I don't think he's making these decisions. I need him to start winning matches without chicanery. No ball shots. Don't punch anybody in the balls. You don't win matches. Win at least occasionally win a match where Jey Uso doesn't have to save your ass. He is the strongest he's ever been. And the weakest he's ever been at the same time. Considering how you book him. It does not look good that he has to cheat to win every time. Some heels should cheat to win the majority of their matches. Some heels should just be better than the babyface on most nights. Being a heel doesn't make you suck at wrestling and need to cheat to win. At least it shouldn't. I know it does in Vince's eyes, but it shouldn't. Kenny Omega is a huge heel. He doesn't cheat to win matches, not all the time. When he does, it's fucking important. It's not just a thing he does all the time. Every single match. Imagine if every match Kenny Omega won, he kicked a dude in the balls every single time. That'd suck. But when he has to cheat to beat somebody, then it matters. Then it matters. Imagine if Roman Reigns was running through everybody, but he had to cheat to beat Kevin Owens. Or whoever. Whoever he had to cheat to beat, that would make a statement. Because he's been beating up everybody. But now he's got to cheat. And that means something. Doesn't mean anything if he cheats to beat everybody. But that's not his fault. That's the booking's fault. As is usually the case. He comes out and cuts a promo about Kevin Owens and how Kevin Owens, you know, isn't here because, well, I had to throw him off a damn building, basically. It's weird. From certain angles, it didn't seem that high. From other angles, the height of the platform that Kevin Owens was thrown off of, it would look like it was 30 feet in the air. It is a bump spot worthy of a prolonged absence from television. I will say that. Now, I guess I'll bring this up now because it's also part of how WWE doesn't fucking know how to book stories. They don't know how to tell a story anymore. They just don't. They were all set to bring up last week before his big send-off match at NXT New Year's Evil. They were all set to bring up Damian Priest. That was the story. They were going to bring him up. Now, the story was purported by the Wrestling Observer was the story was supposed to be that he was Kevin Owens' best friend. And he was the guy that Kevin Owens was going to get back up. And he was going to get back up. And back up was Damian Priest. Which, if you've seen that guy in NXT, that's unlikely that they would ever have anything in common. Why would that be your best friend, Kevin Owens? Kevin Owens had the same thought. He was like, I don't think the audience is going to buy that. And Roman Reigns is like, no, he's right. There's no way the audience will buy him and Damian Priest being best friends. So they scratched it. And they just didn't debut him, which is good because that storyline would have been shit. Hey, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, I'm tired of you beating me up. So I went and got my best friend, a rock and roll vampire. And he and I are going to beat you up together because we're best friends from a long time ago, back when we were in our rock and roll vampire band. It would have been fucking stupid. Now, this is the thought I immediately had when they said they were going to call him up and have him be part of this feud, this Owens and Reigns deal. I thought, well, he's Reigns' hitman, his outside enforcer, because Jey Uso's been fucking up left and right. He just can't seem to get the job done. So what do? You bring in Damian Priest. He's outside the family, but at least he knows how to complete a hit job. And that's what he does. The first time he comes in, he lays out Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens just goes away for a while. And then it becomes this thing of Jey Uso having to prove himself even more because there's this guy who's not even in the family that's getting all of Reigns' attention and getting all the good main event spots because Jey Uso keeps fucking up. And so you have this thing of like Jey and Damian Priest at each other's throat, which Roman loves that. Roman loves watching Damian Priest and Jey Uso punch each other. He probably has a couple of matches where he can sit up on the top of the ramp in a Barca lounger easy chair with some woman feeding him grapes while he gets to watch Jey Uso fight Damian Priest to prove how much he loves Roman Reigns. I think that could be a lot of fun. And eventually, the full faction being Roman, Jay and Jimmy, the cousins, who are his right and left-hand man, and then his hired enforcer, Damian Priest. That's fucking great. Because then, when Jimmy and Jay go out on their own and break up the band to turn face again, Jimmy and Jay versus Roman and Damian Priest is a lot of fun. That could be a great fucking program. Yes, it fucking could. So that's what they should do when they bring Priest up. They should have him be Roman's enforcer and cause friction, even more friction, between Roman and Jay. It would be much, much better. Much, much better than this shit with Kevin Owens. You're my best friend, Damien. Thanks for coming up and showing me. Remember all those times we went? Remember how we went to summer camp together, Damien? Gee, you are my best friend. It would be shit. So yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that. But anyway, Roman Reigns last night talking about Kevin Owens and how he respects Kevin Owens because he won't die. I respect that, the kind of guy. But then look what happened to him. He wouldn't die, and then I had to kill him. There's a cockroach. This promo, the whole thing by Reigns, is delivered so impeccably. Like, I'm astonished at what a great, simple actor Roman Reigns is. Astonished, considering how shit he was on the mic a few scant years ago. He's so fucking good here. God damn it. I don't know if, like, he was trying too hard to be, like, the aw shucks babyface guy, and it wasn't up his alley, but this is fucking brilliant. And eventually, he says, you know, it's not even Kevin Owens' fault. I'll tell you whose fault it is. The fault of the guy who made the match. It's Adam Pearce. Adam Pearce, get out here. And he's just standing there waiting for it, and, like, Paul Heyman is frantically trying to get Michael Cole or Corey Graves to call to the back and get Adam Pearce to come out. And this whole thing where Pearce finally comes out and, Jesus. And Roman just gaslights him the whole time about like how, Look at what you did to your buddy, Kevin Owens. He's hurt now. He's not here. That's your fault. You did that. You shouldn't have made the match. You hurt your friend, Adam. That's not good. He says, what is the impetus for him to, like, I'm looking at his notes here. What is the impetus for him to start I'm just trying to put the best feud, the best challengers in front of you. I'm just trying to choose those challengers. The gauntlet match, that's the reason for that. Because Reigns is like, why are you having a gauntlet match? Why don't I pick my challengers? Well, I'm just trying to do the, what, you think I'm stupid? Like I can pick my own challengers? Are you stupid that you don't know that I can pick my own challengers? Oh, no, I'm not stupid. Oh, so it's Vince McMahon who's stupid. Yeah. Yeah, Roman, it is. It's Vince. So it's Vince who's stupid? Vince McMahon. You're going to stand here on television and say that Vince McMahon is stupid. Yes. Yes, actually, he is. He is very stupid. But you're going to stand. Well, if Vince isn't stupid, because you're shaking your head no, and you're not stupid, then I must be the one who's stupid. Are you trying to insult me? You're going to insult my family? Just the way he does everything and the way I'm doing it is so much more animated than he's doing it. You think I'm stupid? Is that what you think? Oh, so I'm not stupid. So you must be stupid. Are you stupid? No, you're saying you're not stupid? Well, if you're not stupid and I'm not stupid, are you saying Vince McMahon is stupid? Just the way he does it, like, just gaslighting him the whole fucking time, it's so good. It's like a different kind of heel work than I ever said. He believes this shit. He is a fucking narcissist to his core, which is what we all kind of were thinking. There's only so long you can be Vince's favored guy forever. And in the storyline, at least, and not have it go to your head. Everybody pulls strings for me. I must be the best thing in the world. Yeah, that's right, I am. Eventually, you start believing that shit. And I think that's what's caught up with Roman. It's very, very good. So he grabs Pierce by the collar. And he gets in his face. Pierce gets him to back off a little bit. I do respect you. I respect you so much. I have so much respect for you, Razor Roman Reigns. Please do not hit me in the face. And Heyman gets him to back off. And they leave very menacingly with smiles on their faces. There's a great moment in there. Well, Jay really is doing a great job, and I really wish they would let him win matches. Spoiler alert, he's going to lose a match next week. That's going to suck. I'll talk about that at the end. There's a point where they're like, oh, you're doing such a great job, picking such great challengers for me. Everyone give him a round of applause. And right behind Adam Pearce is Jey Uso just so angry, so tight-faced, just giving it's not even a golf clap. It's just loud and insincere. It's good. It's good stuff. That was an amazing segment. Like, it's a fantastic, it's one of the best, just simple heel work that I've ever seen. So good. Which is why it's so maddening what they did by the end of the show. Apollo Crews versus Big E is a really cool, clever match. I loved how aggressive Apollo Crews was. Big E doesn't get thrown away around a lot, so it was impressive when Apollo Crews did it. I really thought they employed the use of the double pin really well. It came on a superplex where Apollo Crews kept a hold of it and wrapped his legs, and the same thing with Big E. So both men had both shoulders down and a double pin. And I thought that was really cleverly done, really well executed. The ref called for the bell, but wouldn't say who won. Apollo assumed he won, and they went to commercial. When they came back, the ref was saying, hey, both men had their shoulders down. Is a draw, and in a draw, the champion takes it. Now, I appreciated two things that Big E did. I appreciate both how they both reacted. Big E didn't do the "ha ha ha, I won. I still get to be champ," because that's usually the thing that he does that champs do. If they win by DQ, they're like, "I won, I accomplished something." When you didn't, it was a draw. And I appreciated that he then was very matter of factly like, "Hey man, good job. That was a hell of a match. Give me a fist bump." And I appreciated that Apollo Crews was pissed. Like, he thought he won. He was doing a great job in the match. I want to continue the match. And Big E should be saying, "Well, no, we had the match. It's a draw. Let's do this again later." That's better than like, no, sir. I say that you are right, sir. Let us have a rematch because I am so honorable that I shall give you a rematch here and now." No, because that's stupid. That's a stupid thing. How do you get him to to not be a coward by slinking away, having thought he won, and not be stupid by immediately granting Apollo the rematch. How you do that is you have Apollo Crews be super pissed, stand up for himself, take agency, because he remembers how fast you can slide down the card after a because he for he I think he had three or four one shot matches for titles, like US title or Intercontinental title, in the span of a couple of years, where like somebody was the champion and he had one shot at a pay-per-view, and then he never got close to it again for months and months and months. So I like that he was like, I'm not letting that happen to me again. So he slapped Big E in the mouth, and Big E was like, you ring that fucking bell. Take this belt. I'm going to kill this guy. And the last few minutes of the match were a sprint, back and forth, back and forth. Big E wins with a big ending. I thought it was really well done. Good, solid match. It appears as though they might be going for a little bit of a lengthier feud here. Apollo Crews demanded a rematch in some backstage video, so that's something. Yeah, this could be good for both guys. It was really cool to see the way Big E works as a singles guy. I think he's really talented. Everybody who was like, he should win the Royal Rumble, like, yeah, sure, he should, but he's not gonna. They're not gonna do that with him. They've created a glass ceiling for him. Right now, that glass ceiling is the Intercontinental Championship. He might move beyond it eventually, but I don't see that happening until after Mania, unfortunately. So, yeah, he's the IC champion for a while. Good for him. He should be the NXT champion for a while. It should be a good reign. But he should be in by this time next year. If he's not being primed, if he hasn't gotten back together with the New Day, if he's not being primed by this time next year for a top main event title run, then they will have fucked everything up. So Adam Pearce is on the phone with somebody backstage. Oh, by the way, the big part about this is in the earlier segment, there's a thing that's just dropped where Roman Reigns says, you sure you don't want to add yourself to the gauntlet match? And Adam Pearce is like, why would I want to do that? I'm not an active wrestler anymore. Please, sir, don't hit me in the face. So that was dropped early on in that promo. So here he's talking about how he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't to somebody on the phone. Nasomio Deville walks in and says, so we're going to be working together. I didn't say we wouldn't want this job. And Sonya Deville is fantastic. She's so good at cutting promos and stuff. She's so good at everything. But I really like how she's not, when she's not super animated as she was in all of her promos over the spring and summer when she was doing her thing with Mandy Rose. And just very matter of fact, she also knocks it out of the park. Very, very, very good. Very good. Future superstar, megastar, multi-time women's champion. Last year has been crazy, obviously. I'm not proud of what I said or done. I'm not bitter about my best friend beating me in a loser leaves WWE match and then moving to Raw and being part of some new random tag team, which that's such a wonderful bit of shade. Like, I really hope we get a promo where she talks about how, so you beat me in a loser leaves WWE match. You won that feud at SummerSlam. And the best you can do is a move to Raw to tag team with Dana Brooke. Oh, honey, I was right. I was right. You have nothing going on for yourself. That is your ceiling, is being in a tag team. Because Sonya Deville's ceiling is so much higher than that, and I really believe they know that. But she, I think, is going to be Pierce's assistant, which means that she's going to be the assistant to the assistant to the regional manager, general manager, Adam Pierce. And I'm very excited to see what happens. She actually mentions, looks like you've got a lot on your plate. I mean, you know, this, you know, you're working on SmackDown and Raw and, you know, maybe adding yourself to this gauntlet match. It's like, no. Well, why not? Well, to be honest, I haven't had a match in 6 years and I'm perfectly happy being retired. Which is a good, it's a really, seems like a really simple and honorable way to put it. I am retired. I retired 6 years ago. I have no interest in getting back in the ring. You hear how easy that is, Bill? Mr. Goldberg, how easy it is to say I retired years ago and I have no interest in getting back in the ring. Do you see how easy it is to say those words, Bill? Mr. Goldberg, sir. Seems like it'd be an easy thing for you to say. You should say it. And mean it. Anyway, I love the potential for this, of her making matches while Adam Pierce is away, stuff like that. There's a lot of really interesting things. The more we get of Sonya Deville, the better. What I want is to, for her to be made SmackDown general manager, and I want her to hire. I want her to be forced to work with Billie Kay as her assistant, and I want just every week a good 10-minute comedy bit of Billie Kay annoying the hell out of Sonya Deville. That's what I want. I think it would be the best. Speaking of which, let's want to lump all the women's segments together. Billie Kay shows up to talk to the Riot Squad because she cheered them on after they beat Tamina and Natalya last week. She says, hey, I'm going to be part of the Riot Squad, right? Let's make this duo a squad again. And they're like, no, we talked about it. And the answer is no. And so she starts to cry. It's like, nobody wants me. 2021 was supposed to be a better year than 2020, but it's not. Nobody wants me. And Liv Morgan says, oh, it's something we don't want you, Billy. Oh, thank you. You won't regret this. I've got, I'm looking forward to getting punked out. I have been listening to a lot of Blink 182. Also, as you see on my resume, I have mosh pitting on my resume. I'm so excited. And I'm excited. Give me, I mean, if you're not going to do anything with these women, which you should be doing something with them, if the best you're going to do with them is just having them hang out and do shit backstage, have Ruby and Liv Morgan give Billie Kay a full-on punk rock makeover. It'd be fucking hilarious. And also have them teach her how to actually mosh pit. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I love these three ladies. I think they could be really, really fun together. But also, if that doesn't work out, please take my other suggestion and put Billie Kay with Sonya Deville and have them do odd couple humor. It would be fun. They interviewed Bianca Belair. She's announced herself for the 30-woman Royal Rumble match. Bayley interrupts, and they taunt each other back and forth. Blah, blah, blah. It's a good little promo back and forth. And they're keeping the Bayley and Bianca thing going. It still makes zero sense to me why they had Bianca lose to Bayley. It just does. I don't get it. Especially since they never followed up on it. So Bianca couldn't even get her fucking win back. yeah, it's a bad scene. I mean, maybe they're going to have Bianca eliminate Bayley from the Royal Rumble, but I feel like they're probably going to have Bayley eliminate Bianca from the Royal Rumble after Bianca eliminates like 12 women. Then Carmella cut a promo about Sasha. It was lame. It didn't add anything to anything. But she did reference that that Sports Illustrated Top 10 Wrestlers of 2020 article that came out, which had Sasha Banks at number one. It was pretty funny. Some of the people that were on the list and some people who were not. There was a huge uproar among members of the internet wrestling community who apparently don't watch anything other than WWE, because they were like, how is Randy Orton on this list? How is Randy Orton not on this list? Who the hell is Eddie Kingston? Like, as though it's Eddie Kingston's fault that you don't know Eddie Kingston. Just the temerity of some people, the unmitigated gall, the audacity. So that promo was nothing. It's just, I did she say she was supposed to, I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't even say, like, are they continuing the feud? I guess so, because she's talking trash about Sasha, but she doesn't say she's going to be in the Royal Rumble, which she would say if she was going to be in it, which makes me think we're going to get Banks versus Carmella again at the Rumble, and, like, why? Thank you. So it's a big deal. The Street Profits, while they were booked to look like absolute trash to start out, in WWE in their main roster run, all those terrible backstage segments where they just like did the news, like, here's a thing that happened earlier tonight and here's a thing that's gonna happen later tonight, also next week there's another thing, and also this Sunday at the pay-per-view here are more things. But you know, hip-hop. It was really a bad way to use them. But to their credit, I suppose, they became champs 10 months ago. 10 months is a long tag, right? It is. It's a long tag, right? The New Day, like, set the standard, but everyone kind of, like, you forget because they were champs for such a long time for most of their reigns. But it's those are long reigns, like long, long title reigns. 10 months is a long title reign. So you get to a point where you say, okay, you guys have been tag champs for such a long time that we feel like it would be worth it to take the titles off of you. Now, hear me out. This is definitely not your only tag title run. You're going to have others. We're going to put you in another feud really hot after you lose these belts and get your rematch. But we think it's really important right now because you guys are now established on the main roster. So we're going to find a pair of young and hungry up-and-comers. We're going to give them the rub by having them take the titles off of you. Really make a big splash with these new young, hungry up-and-comers who are going to now be the Chad champs. I'm just kidding. They fucking put them on Rude and Ziggler, who do not need the rub at all, do not need these belts at all. However, who the fuck else is there for them to put the belts on? Now, you might have said, well, maybe they could have put them back on Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. Nope. They got plans for one half of that tag team, at least. So that's out. So who else? Gable and Otis. I mean, probably, yeah. Now that they put the titles on Rudler. on Rudler and Zig. Now they put the titles on Rudler and Zig. They're obviously a heel team, and now they actually have merch that says Dirty Dawgs on it. I say Dawgs because they fucking spelled it D-A-W-G. Dawgs. Dirty Dawgs. It's fucking ridiculous. You don't... If you have a tag act that is hot and is the champs, you don't have to take the tag titles off of them. If you are going to take the tag titles off of them, do it for a reason I said. Like, either have a white hot feud that is really important, you know, where it seems like these guys just can't stop fighting. And they're really, 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 you build the rivalry over months and months and months or something. Or you have a young team. And I forget, all the young tag teams are in AEW. Like, imagine, if you will, not that I want any of these guys to be in WWE because Vince wouldn't have any fucking clue what to do with them. But imagine the Street Profits versus Top Flight versus the Acclaimed versus Private Party. Not versus all, not in a four corners match, although, my God, but like versus any one of those three teams. And how much any one of those three teams, those three young, super talented teams, how much any one of those three teams would gain by beating the Street Profits when the Street Profits are coming off of a 10-month tag title reign? How big that would be for a young tag team. They don't have any young tag teams. They don't have any fucking tag teams. They break everybody up. The actual tag team that I would like to see, everyone's like, the Mysterios, and some people are like, kinda. I have no interest in seeing Rey Mysterio tag with his son. I don't. I know it's like, oh, wouldn't it be sweet? Yeah, I guess. Hey, remember that angle they were running that they seemed to like so much and we haven't really had them mention it in a while? Remember that? Remember how the 32-year-old dude was dating a teenager? Remember that? That wasn't that long ago, but it feels like forever ago. But if they're still planning on doing that relationship, the brothers-in-law thing could work. I think Buddy Murphy and Dominic could be a lot of fun together. I think that could be a cool tag team. I think Buddy Murphy's way beyond that. I think he's a future world champion if they would only fucking book him right. But I don't see anybody else on SmackDown that's a tag team. Really? Well, there's the Forgotten Sons, right? The Knights of the Lone Wolf. There's nothing that says they can't be a tag team when they're not guarding Baron Corbin's behind. But, like, that would have been a fun match. Like, here's the thing. If you told me it has to be a heel team on SmackDown to beat the Street Profits, I would have said Blake and Cutler. Because they're young, it would give them instantaneously a whole bunch of clout on that show. Oh, shit. These guys, we didn't know anything about these guys. They can go. They just beat the Street Profits clean. That's huge. Now there's a whole thing. It's like, now he becomes like, well, okay. Now we got this new thing going. That's interesting. As opposed to like Rudin Ziggler, which is like the epitome of what? Like, just they're just two guys at this point. I mean, the match they had with the Street Profits was a really good match, but really, like, Rude and Ziggler is the best you got right now. If they're a transitional champ to Otis and Gable, that's a fucking comedy tag team. I don't have any respect for comedy tag teams. I don't want to see that. I know that's what Vince wants, but it's fucking shit. Just end the tag divisions. Just no more tag matches. I'm done. No more tag matches. No more tag team titles. Like, the New Day get to be tag team champs. There's one set of floating tag belts that goes back and forth, and the New Day get to be champs all the time and face the best teams. And these other teams can beat them, but eventually the New Day becomes tag champs again, and they float around. You've broken up too many tag teams. I don't trust you to not break up other ones. I'm worried that even though it seems like they do know that Montez Ford is a future mega star as a singles, I don't think it's necessarily right now, considering they don't know what the fuck they're doing with anything at this point. I'm worried that they had the Street Profits loose so they could break up another fucking tag team. Yeah, it's bad. Bad news all over the place. The spine buster into the zigzag is a good double team move to win the match. But I don't fucking care about Rude and Ziggler, and I won't ever. I won't. Paul Heyman comes in and interrupts Pierce talking to Sonya Deville. Basically says, you're in the gauntlet match. I mean, he uses more words than that. He just mentioned how, like, Adam Pierce, you know, this was not, you're doing a great job. I respect you a lot. But this was not your dream. Your dream was to be a wrestler. Your dream was to be, to have the top title in WWE. And I'm very happy for you personally and professionally that you get to be in this gauntlet match. And by the way, you should thank Roman Reigns for this, because he gave me an order and I was able to pull some strings. So, Rey Mysterio comes out first with Dominic, but not with Buddy. Rey Mysterio's first, and Sami Zayn comes out with a big promo. He's got his own camera crew there. He just talks and is a heel. Basically, his promo should just read, Sami Zayn, : is a heel, and that's it. Like, it's the most generic shit. He does it really well, but it's just, there's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Like, everyone is against me, is the basic thing. Like, you just imagine Sami Zayn coming out and just saying, everyone is against me, 75 times, and that's what it was. There was no more substance to it than that. It was artfully delivered, but lacking in any substance whatsoever. He immediately gets drop-kicked into the ropes and 619 and pinned. So, as I said, when looking at the gauntlet match as it was originally laid out, Sami Zayn was going to get hit once and pinned. And that was the case. The next set to come out is Shinsuke Nakamura. And the way we're... I think a lot of us were thinking was like, okay... So we're going to get Shinsuke Nakamura is going to lose here, because why would he win? He's 5-14, 5-13 in his last 18 matches. So why would he win here? He's 8 games under 500. So you're thinking Ray would beat him too. And then Ray would lose to that cheater Baron Corbin, which would further their feud, Baron Corbin and Rey Mysterio. And then you'd have Daniel Bryan come in and beat Baron Corbin. And then you'd have shenanigans to keep Daniel Bryan out of the match versus Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble, which is all going to piss everybody off. And that's why Daniel Bryan has to win the Royal Rumble in order to get a shot at Daniel Bryan. A shot at Roman Reigns, because Roman Reigns is ducking Daniel Bryan and doesn't want to face Daniel Bryan. And that's the storyline going through all the whole winter until we get to Mania. Roman Reigns doesn't want to face Daniel Bryan because Roman Reigns knows Daniel Bryan is 10 times the wrestler that Roman Reigns is. And that's the storyline. That's a very simple storyline to tell. It's smart. It accomplishes what we want, which is for A, Daniel Bryan to win the Royal Rumble, and B, for there to be a real compelling feud for Roman and for Daniel Bryan, which Daniel Bryan has said this is going to be probably his last Mania as a full-time superstar. So if he goes into Mania and has the main event of Mania for the Universal title and goes in and has a bunch of hope spots and makes us believe he's going to win the title again, only to put over the top guy in the company at WrestleMania as his last act to help to like do this, to tell the story that this guy, Roman Reigns, because that's probably what they're going to do, guys. I hate to break it to you. I think Roman is going to be the champion for a very long time. That if that's the way they're going to do it, Daniel Bryan will be like, yes, that's the best thing. That's the best thing for the storyline. Or hell, maybe they let him win it one more time at Mania. Wouldn't that be great? I would love that. I don't think they're going to do that. So that is a thing they could have done, right? But instead, they had Shinsuke Nakamura run the damn gauntlet. Shinsuke Nakamura, again, the last time we saw him in action, last week, he tapped out clean to Daniel Bryan in a tag match. The last time we saw him before that, he got pinned by Otis in a match that lasted, hold on, I want to make sure here. I want to make sure I'm not doing this right. Less than 3 minutes. He got pinned by Otis in less than 3 minutes. He got squashed by fucking Otis. Now, I say that was the last time. The last three times we saw him were tapped out to Daniel Bryan. Then he was part of the team, the eight-man tag team, that lost at TLC in the pre-show. Didn't take the pin, but he was part of the team that lost. So that counts as a loss. And the time before that, he lost in 3 minutes to freaking Otis. He's been booked like a joke for months. So of course, with no fanfare, with no buildup, no storyline, anything, he shows up last night and runs the damn gauntlet, doing a face turn in the process, because he's been a heel, I'm pretty sure, since she punched AJ Styles in the dick like three goddamn years ago. He's been a heel forever. Last night, he got Rey Mysterio to tap to an armbar. He beat Baron Corbin. I forget. Yeah, he hit Corbin with a Kinshasa and won. He tapped out Rey Mysterio. Venerable Rey Mysterio hit a Kinshasa on Baron Corbin, won that one, and then it was down to him and Daniel Bryan. And he beat Daniel Bryan. after he just had two matches. This was a decent length of a gauntlet match. It wasn't an hour long, but it was a decent length. And he's been in it for most of the time. So Daniel Bryan was fresh, but couldn't beat a tired Shinsuke Nakamura. And Shinsuke Nakamura hits him with a Kinshasa. Daniel Bryan gets up, picks up Shinsuke Nakamura, and has him shake his hand. And Shinsuke Nakamura shakes Daniel Bryan's hand, and they have a mutual respect moment. That, my friends, is a motherfucking face turn. Here's how else you know it's a face turn. Because the next person that comes out after he beats Daniel Bryan and shakes his hand is Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns and Jey Uso beat the shit out of Shinsuke Nakamura, which cements the face turn. Then Adam Pearce, looking as scared as hell, and why wouldn't he be scared as hell? After all, as Michael Cole said, let's be honest, Adam Pearce was never good enough to make it in WWE. And by the way, fuck you, Michael Cole. Well, who the fuck are you, Michael Cole, to say some shit about Adam Pearce, former champion? Fuck you. That was uncalled for and unnecessary. The thing you could easily say is, this guy hasn't had a match in 6 years. He's not in ring shape. He's not ready for this. If you gave him 6 months of training, maybe he'd have a shot. But no, not now. The idea is like, oh, even in his prime, he was never good enough to be in WWE, McMahon. Fuck that shit. No. That's some bullshit. That's some bullshit. Also, like, there were years and years and years that went on before NXT where some of the best guys in the world never came to WWE because they didn't have a developmental. You know what I mean? There are guys all over the world who were absolutely better than some of the shit you were throwing out there in the middle of the ring every Monday and Tuesday and Friday. But they never made it because you never signed them. Not because they weren't good enough, because you never signed them. Because it wasn't the way things were done back then. That pissed me off so much. So, Adam Pearce gets in the ring, try to beg off, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to pin the guy who goes just beat up. That doesn't seem fair. And turns around into a super kick from Jey Uso and fucking dies. Like, it's one of the best sells of a super kick of anything I've ever seen. His body bends in half at a weird angle and he just drops to the canvas. It's fucking great. And then Jay just rolls him over on top of Nakamura and they call the 1-2-3. Now, here's the deal. We're supposed to be pissed. Oh, they did that to Nakamura. How dare they do that to Nakamura? Why the fuck do I care about Nakamura? He's been a heel who you've asked me to root against him. You have spared no expense to convince me and everybody else that the ceiling for Shinsuke Nakamura is nothing more than mid-card heel. He was an IC title holder for a little while. Was he US champion at some point? Maybe, I don't remember. You know why? Because his reigns of all those things weren't memorable. He was a tag champ as a heel. He's a mid-card heel. You told me this for years, and now, randomly, out of the blue on a fucking Friday, 1 week after he tapped out as a mid-card heel to Daniel Bryan, you have him slotted in this gauntlet match where he comes out on top. having run the gauntlet, and you cement a face turn by having him out of fucking nowhere. Cement him a face turn by having him shake Daniel Bryan's hand in a show of respect. So we're all supposed to, like, here's the thing. I know we're like, oh, good for Shinsuke Nakamura. Maybe they're finally going to use him right. You know, like that's a thing. Like a lot of us are like, yeah, that's good. Like I really would love for, it's good to see Shinsuke Nakamura back in the top title scene. That's a good thing for all of wrestling. It is it's an objectively good thing. Problem is, including last night, he's 5 for his last 14, five for his last 19. 5 and 14 in his last 19 matches. So you don't get to just decide on a whim out of the blue with no storytelling backing it up at all. This guy should be taken seriously as a main event type guy now. And also, we know we've told you to root against this guy for years, that he is a bad guy. You shouldn't like him. But now, tonight, root for him. And also going forward into the Royal Rumble event, root for him. Root for him hard. You like this guy now because we said so. WWE, under Vince McMahon, Vincent K. McMahon, will you please go now? Get at your local library. WWE under Vince McMahon thinks we are all idiots. Thinks we're goldfish who can't form a new goddamn memory. They have no respect for our intelligence. None. No respect for any of us to follow along and be like, no, wait. Why is this guy being pushed at this point? It doesn't make any sense. Like, cool. I'm glad Shinsuke Nakamura is going to looks like he's going to get a title match versus Roman Reigns. Cool. Why though? You decided he was not somebody I was supposed to like. And now he is, because you decided it. The thing of it is the whole, it's sitting right there for them. Well, you need to, if by the way, this is your plan, and if it's not, God help you. If it is your plan to have Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble and go on to face Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania, if that is your plan, it can only be helped by having what appears to be having it happen so that it looks like, at least, if it's not the truth, but at least it looks like Roman Reigns is pulling strings and politicking and cheating to make sure he doesn't have to face Daniel Bryan. That's good. That helps your cause in your long-term storytelling that I know you love to do. By the way, this is fucking WrestleMania. If you fucking idiots can't figure out a way to cobble together a 4-month, not a year long, not 2 years, not 8 months, a 4-month long storytelling. A storyline that lasts 4 months. That's all. That'd be one time a year going into the Royal Rumble all the way to Mania. 4 fucking months. It's not that hard. I just did it for you. But instead, we're getting this. A face push out of nowhere for Shinsuke Nakamura. Again, a guy you have told us over and over again should not be looked at as anything other than a mid-card heel. Just by the way you have booked him and treated him on your programming, that is what you have told us to. And there's a whole bunch of people who watch your show who have no idea of his history in New Japan, his history wrestling in Japan, or even, as we've seen, a whole bunch of people have no fucking idea what the hell he was in NXT. He was a guy who, like, didn't he win the Royal Rumble a couple of years ago? Oh, yeah, he was the guy who couldn't beat Jinder Mahal in, like, four chances. I think you drastically overestimate the regular fans' attachment to Shinsuke Nakamura. And I say all this saying, good, it's good. Maybe Shinsuke Nakamura is going to get a real run in this company for once. Wouldn't that be great? And it really would be great if they spent 5 fucking minutes figuring out how to tell a story to get him to that point. But they didn't. At all. And so now, next week, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jey Uso. So remember how I said Jey Uso is going to lose another match? Yeah, he's going to do that. Shinsuke Nakamura, they're trying to make us believe that they're really going to have an Adam Pearce versus Roman Reigns match at the Rumble. I feel like maybe they will. I mean, maybe they will. Maybe it'll be like this weird thing where, like, Adam Pearce gets in one hope spot and then gets speared out of his boots and that's it. Or maybe they'll figure out a way to replace Adam Pearce with Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, not that I really want them to do this. And honestly, I don't even know. I don't even know if it's a thing where, like, they don't want to get Sonya involved in actually wrestling feuds right now. Because I believe the depositions in her stalker case are due to begin in February, I think is what I heard. But maybe she would have a backstage role. So if the plan is to have, to have Roman do the shitty heel thing of like, well, if I injure my opponent, I won't have an opponent. Ha, 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 ha. So he, like, takes out Adam Pearce with a lead pipe or something a week before the Rumble. And now the acting official, because they don't say general manager anymore, the acting official on SmackDown is Sonya Deville. So she gets to decide who's going to have the match versus Roman at the Royal Rumble. And the person she decides on is Sonya Deville. I wish. God, wouldn't that be great? Ah, I'd love to see that. Sonya Deville kicking ass against men. That'd be good stuff. But instead, no, she picks Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, I feel like that's something they would do, right? Swerve this person you thought was gonna have the match at the Rumble, then you thought was not gonna have the match at the Royal Rumble. Turns out they are gonna have the match at the Royal Rumble. Hey, it's bullshit they always do. A swerve to the swerve. I believe they call that turning into the skid. I hate that they won't, like, it really feels like they had the idea we're gonna have somebody face Roman at the Royal Rumble. We're gonna pretend like it's gonna be Adam Pearce, but it's gonna be somebody else. Who should it be? I know Shinsuke Nakamura, that guy that everybody had such high hopes for recently. You know, like, it's not that guy. If you have to turn the guy babyface in the match, it's probably not the best things, considering we haven't had any. And also, like, it'd be really helpful if the guy spoke really good English, which he doesn't, unfortunately. Next week, to give us a promo about why he decided to be a good guy after not being one for years. Like, I'm sorry, like, I know we're like, oh, shades of gray, maybe he's not really a babyface. Like, no, it's fucking Vince, man, he's a babyface now. He had a respect handshake with Daniel Bryan, that's it, like, he's a babyface now. We're supposed to root for him. He's going up against Roman Reigns, who's the most dastardly heel in the world. Of course he's a babyface now. But he can't be, because nothing has changed. He tapped out clean to Daniel Bryan last week. This week he's in the gauntlet match. And during the gauntlet match, he decided, I want to be a good guy? Like, what? That's shit. Here's a guy who they could have done this with. Not, I mean, I don't know. It should be Daniel Bryan. That's the best thing to do. It should be Daniel Bryan. But the guy who they should have done it with is Buddy Murphy. I hate the teenager thing. I hate it. I hate it. I loathe it. He's a young guy who has a real future and is currently a babyface. So, and he also has that weird, enough that actually they hate when we remember stuff unless they decide we should remember it. So maybe they would decide we would remember that amazing match he had with Roman Reigns last year on SmackDown, where he pushed Roman Reigns to the absolute fucking limit. I think if you're going to do this storyline, you could do it with Murphy. You could have Roman attack Rey. I mean, they already did that with fucking Seth. You know, I don't know, man. It's just, that's the other thing. Seth hasn't come back. He was supposed to come back last week. They pushed it. Evidently beyond this week and into the beyond. The thing about it is that I don't they brought back Sheamus. This will be the last thing I'm going to talk about. They brought back Sheamus to SmackDown. Was it? Yes. They brought back Sheamus to SmackDown. When Sheamus left, he and Cesaro were a tag team. They were the bar. They had been tag champs forever. While he was gone, he came back. He and his old tag partner, Cesaro, were on the same show. They had the same heel-face alignment. Both of them were heels. And they never had them interact once on screen. Not once. I mean, you would think they would, like, get the band back together. Let's have a fucking tag match. Let's have a tag team now. Because we were so wildly successful together. They were. They multi-time tag champs. They never even had a chance encounter on screen. So my question related to that is, with Seth Rollins being a dastardly fucking heel who puts out people's eyes and whatnot, who believes he is the Messiah, on the same show as a now dastardly heel Roman Reigns, what is their relationship? I'm of the opinion that you really can't have another top-ish level heel that's not related to the Roman Reigns story on the Roman Reigns show. He sucks all the heel air out of the building. Nobody else gets any. That's why you're never going to figure out a way to give over Baron Corbin just being Baron Corbin, kind of. It's not going to work. Not while Roman Reigns is there being 1,000,000 times the heel that Baron Corbin is. Seth Rollins shows up and is trying to be like, that's right, that's why I am in charge of SmackDown, because I am this Messiah. Really? When your old shield mate is in the locker room two doors down, literally running the show, booking matches for himself. You can't do that gimmick on SmackDown with Roman there. It doesn't work. So either Seth has to join forces with Roman, which is an interesting prospect, and one that I feel like Heyman could figure out a way to make work, but Vince would fuck up entirely. Or you got to turn Seth face, which is shit. Or you got to figure out a way to get Seth the hell to Raw, which would probably be good because then he'd be away from the Murphy and Mysterios forever, at least until the next soup shake. I don't know, man. The thing about it is that it's so funny is that the actual storyline, the real storyline of Reigns is pissed at Pierce for fucking everything up in the way he puts matches together. He's pissed at Pierce for giving Kevin Owens that match last week. So they put together this gauntlet match and they figure out a patsy to put Pierce over so that Pierce can get the fuck beat out of him by Roman Reigns legally in a match. That storyline is so fucking solid, and I have such faith in all the performers therein to perform it, that including the Patsy, who is another major player in this storyline, as Shinsuke Nakamura, can only be Vince's call because it is so fucking stupid. Guy who doesn't really speak English very well. Heel that has to turn face. Who we've booked like a fucking joke of a loser since the summer. Daniel Bryan was right there. It doesn't make any sense, which is why it can only be a Vince decision. That was SmackDown. This has been Sour Graps. I have been your host, Alex Pulowski. What a fucking week, everybody. I know we have a lot of fans outside of the U.S. And I know you're watching our country going, what the fuck, guys? Let me tell you. We don't know either. We don't know either. So I say it every week. It's never been more true than it is this week. Everything sucks.